Our New Testament scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 3, verses 31 to 35. You'll find that on page 838 in the Bibles in the pews. Mark, the third chapter, verses 31 through 35. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking out at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." It's an interesting little passage that Mark includes in his gospel. The crowd seemed to be very concerned that Jesus was turning his attention from his family to the crowd and told them, "Don't you realize your mother and your brother is here?" But our Lord had other intentions. And he really taught the crowd a little bit about why it was that he had come. When Jesus came, he left not only heaven behind when he came to earth, but a lot of the things that we take for granted, that we enjoy, the pleasures of family, he left behind. And so there were his mother and his brothers outside. But he wanted to correct the crowd because actually, as much as he had a human family, he really came for the family of those he was going to redeem and die on the cross for. Those who were gathering around him, who were listening to his word. And so he pointed to those who sat around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." It's an interesting thought. I know we don't always think about Jesus as our brother, but Jesus considers us his brothers. He even considers us as his mothers in some way, where he would do for us the things that a son would do for his mother. He came to serve. He came to save us from our sins. It's a very precious little passage. Let's remember that as we live before him in this coming week. I don't know how many of you know that hymn we just sang. We sing it from time to time. If you ever served in the Navy, you would know it. Very familiar tune. One of our former elders, who's now with the Lord, think it was one of his favorite songs. It's very fitting for us to sing that this morning because of what our text deals with ships on the sea, the ships of Tyre. This morning, our scripture passage is Isaiah 23. If you're joining us today as a visitor, we are preaching through the book of Isaiah. And this is a chapter that I don't think any preacher would choose to have for the sermon if they were just choosing their sermons. But one of the advantages we have in preaching through the Bible chapter after chapter after chapter is it forces us to look at some passages we'd be prone to overlook. It's a difficult chapter, and I ask that you pay good attention to it because it is God's Word, and he's going to speak to us through it. So Isaiah chapter 23, it's page 584 in the Bibles that are in the pews. Follow along as I read it, and please keep your Bibles open as we go through the message this morning. An oracle concerning Tyre. "Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is laid waste without house or harbor. From the land of Cyprus it is revealed to them. Be still, O inhabitants of the coast. The merchants of Sidon who cross the sea have filled you. On many waters your revenue was the grain of Shihor, the harvest of the Nile. You were the merchant of the nations. Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken, the stronghold of the sea, saying, 'I have neither labored nor given birth. I have neither reared young men nor brought up young women.' When the report comes to Egypt, they will be in anguish over the report about Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish. Wail, O inhabitants of the coast. Is this your exultant city whose origins is from days of old, whose feet carried her to settle far away? who has purposed this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honor of the earth. The Lord of hosts has purposed it to defile the pompous pride of all glory, to dishonor all the honor to the earth. Cross over your land like the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no restraint anymore. He has stretched out his hand over the sea. He has shaken the kingdoms. The Lord has given command concerning Canaan to destroy its strongholds. And he said, you will no more exult, O oppressed virgin daughter of Sidon. Arise, cross over to Cyprus. Even there you will have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This is the people that was not. Assyria destined it for wild beasts. They erected their siege towers. They stripped her palaces bare. They made her a ruin. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for your stronghold is laid waste. In that day, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years like the days of one king. At the end of the 70 years, it will happen to Tyre as in the song of the prostitute. Take a harp. Go about the city, O forgotten prostitute. Make sweet melody. Sing many songs that you may be remembered. At the end of 70 years, the Lord will visit Tyre, and she will return to her wages and will prostitute herself with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. Her merchandise and her wages will be holy to the Lord. It will not be stored or hoarded, but her merchandise will supply abundant food and fine clothing for those who dwell before the Lord. May God bless our understanding of this portion of his holy and inspired word. Congregation of Christ, we turn our attention this morning to a prophecy which fills out the messages which God sent out to the nations surrounding Judah. Up to this point in the book of Isaiah, God has spoken his word concerning the nations of Assyria, Babylon, Egypt, Moab, Syria, Edom, Arabia, and Cush, as well as Israel and Judah. Some of these were little nations, and others were large players, mighty empires on the stage of human history. But one player still remains to be addressed, and that was Tyre, one of the principal cities of the Phoenicians. Tyre's power was not military power, as was the case with Babylon and Assyria. Tyre's power was the power of commerce and trade. And the trade she conducted was primarily carried out by means of her ships, a vast merchant fleet by which she traversed the seas to distant ports. In many ways, Tyre could rightly be called the Queen of the Seas. The Phoenicians were one of the great sea peoples of the ancient world. They had come to the western shores of Palestine and settled at Tyre and Sidon, somewhere in the western Mediterranean. Their precise origin is a matter of scholarly debate. But once they arrived and settled at Tyre, they continued traversing the seas. They were the ones you would employ to move the goods you were trading to other ports and to bring foreign goods to your own port. In this oracle, Tarshish and Cyprus are mentioned. Tarshish was the remotest part of the ancient world you could get to traveling by sea when you viewed the world from the perspective of one living in Palestine. Tarshish was the place the prophet Jonah was trying to get to when he ran away from the Lord's command to preach in Nineveh. Jonah jumped on a ship at a port called Joppa, a little south of Tyre. But in all likelihood, it was a Phoenician vessel that he was on. The Phoenicians traveled to Tarshish, and they traveled to what the ESV translates as Cyprus. It's Kittim in the original Hebrew. Some have held that this is where the Phoenicians originally came from, but as I said before, that's a matter of scholarly debate. The point for us to note is that by Isaiah's time, Tyre was the center of the Phoenician world trade empire. And from Tyre, ships sailed to the remotest parts of the known world. The city of Tyre was not only a major port and home base for Phoenician commerce and trade, it was a strong and fortified city. Part of the city was built on a rocky island. And the island, at various times in history, was connected by a narrow isthmus or causeway to the shore. You couldn't really approach the island part of Tyre with an army very well. Nevertheless, history records that Tyre was subject to no less than 5 sieges. Shalmaneser of Assyria blockaded the city for 5 years, but the blockade was unsuccessful. Tyre did not fall. Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon held a 13-year siege against Tyre, but history doesn't tell us whether it was successful or not. Alexander the Great was able to subdue the city after 7 months by extending the causeway. In Alexander's time, Tyre was an island city. Nevertheless, Alexander and his engineers and warriors did bring Tyre down. Antigonus laid siege to Tyre during the Seleucid period, which followed Alexander's death. And during the Crusades, both the Franks and the Saracens besieged Tyre. It's not clear which of these sieges corresponds to what Isaiah in his prophecy is saying. It may be that the prophecy is of a more general nature concerning the things that will befall Tyre in its coming history. Certain things mentioned in this chapter seem to refer to one or another of these sieges that we know from history. J.A. Alexander, in his commentary on Isaiah, writes, Most probably, the prophecy before us is generic and not specific. A panoramic picture of the downfall of Tyre from the beginning to the end of the destroying process, with particular allusions to particular sieges. For instance, to that of the Chaldeans in verse 13, and perhaps to that of Alexander in verse 6. Well, the first 14 verses of this chapter speak of the fall of Tyre, and the last 4 verses speak of its restoration. Verses 1 to 7 are comprised of what are literarily known as apostrophes. The definition of apostrophe as a literary device rather than as a punctuation mark is when a speaker breaks off from addressing one party and instead addresses a third party. The third party might even be an inanimate object. For example, if you're in your car trying to start it on a cold winter day and you say, "Come on, Bessie, turn over and start," you're using apostrophe. Tyre, its ships, its inhabitants, the merchants of Sidon, they're all addressed here. And the point is that judgment will fall on Tyre. The city will be laid waste. It will become a place of weeping. Verse 1. "Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is laid waste, without house or harbor. From the land of Cyprus it is revealed to them. The distant ships of Tarshish will wail because of Tyre at the desolation coming to it. Lands far away like Cyprus, which traded with Tyre, will mourn at the coming disaster." Verses 2 and 3. "Be still, O inhabitants of the coast. The merchants of Sidon who crossed the sea have filled you. And on many waters your revenue was a grain of Shihor, the harvest of the Nile. You were the merchant of the nations." The Egyptians relied on the Phoenicians to transport their grain, which was sold throughout the Mediterranean world. And the ships of Tyre were the merchant fleet of the nations. They filled the granaries of the inhabitants of the coast. But now, instead of having their granaries filled by merchants from Sidon and ships from Tyre, the inhabitants of the coast experience stillness. The ships aren't coming in anymore. The ships of Tyre no longer sail. The apostrophes keep coming. Verse 4. "Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken, the stronghold of the sea, saying, 'I have neither labored nor given birth. I have neither reared young men or brought up young women.'" The sea and the stronghold of the sea in verse 4 is the city of Tyre. She speaks to her sister city, Sidon. Tyre is ashamed, and she tells Sidon to be ashamed. For, she says, I no longer labor or give birth. I no longer rear young men or bring up young women. Tyre was known in the ancient world for the many cities she established as colonies. They were her children. Cities like Leptis, Utica, and that great rival of Rome, Carthage. But now, Tyre is ashamed. She no longer gives birth to children. The days of her planting colonies are over. Verse 5. When the report comes to Egypt, they will be in anguish over the report about Tyre. As was just mentioned, the Egyptians relied on the ships of Tyre to take their grain to their customers. When the Egyptians hear about the devastation of Tyre, they'll be in anguish. In verses 6 and 7, the inhabitants of the coast are addressed. Cross over to Tarshish, wail, O inhabitants of the coast. Is this your exultant city, whose origin is from days of old, whose feet carried her to settle far away? Tyre is called an exultant city. She was very proud of her position in the world and her dominance through trade. In chapter 28 of the book that bears his name, the prophet Ezekiel addresses Tyre and condemns her for her arrogance. I'm going to read verses 2 through 10 if you want to follow along in Ezekiel 28. Please feel free. Chapter 28, 2 through 10. Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is proud and you have said, I am a god and I sit in the seat of the gods in the heart of the sea. Yet you are a man, but not a god. Though you make your heart like the heart of a god, you are indeed wiser than Daniel. No secret is hidden from you. By your wisdom and your understanding, you have made wealth for yourself and have gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom in your trade, you have increased your wealth, and your heart has become proud in your wealth. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you make your heart like the heart of a god, therefore behold, I will bring foreigners upon you, the most ruthless of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They shall thrust you down into the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the heart of the sea. Will you still say, I am a god in the presence of those who kill you, though you are but a man and no god in the hands of those who slay you? You shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of foreigners, for I have spoken, declares the Lord God. The exultant city will be brought low. The inhabitants of the coast will wail. The city whose feet carried her to settle far away and plant all those colonies shall be brought low. Well, what is the cause of the judgment on Tyre and of its desolation? Verses 8 to 14 answer that question. Who has purposed this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honored of the earth? The Lord of hosts has purposed it. To defile the pompous pride of all glory, to dishonor all the honored of the earth. The author of the destruction of Tyre is the Lord God of hosts. He is the one who will cast Tyre down from its lofty position. The Lord's purpose is to defile the pompous pride of all glory, to dishonor all the honored of the earth. There's only one to whom belongs all glory and honor. It's not Tyre. It's no nation on earth. No matter how highly a nation may think of itself, only one kingdom rules over all, the Lord's kingdom. His alone is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And God will not share his glory with another. It's because there's no one else who is anywhere close to being worthy of standing beside him. So the Lord defiles the pompous pride of all glory and dishonors all the honor to the earth. Take a look at verse 10. Cross over the Nile. Cross over your land like the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no restraint anymore. Here, the ESV, like most modern versions, tries to smooth out a difficulty in the text by translating the last part of the verse, "There is no restraint anymore." What the Hebrew literally says is, "There is no girdle anymore." Those of you who actually know what a girdle is will understand this. A girdle does provide restraint. It binds the waist and keeps it in place. Well, these words are addressed to Tarshish, who is affectionately called daughter. Tarshish was a Phoenician colony, a daughter of Tyre. She's told to cross over her land like the Nile crosses over Egypt when it floods. She can now have freedom. The girdle is no more. The restraint is gone. The mother of the colony no longer has any power to tell her colonies what to do. Verses 11 and 12. He has stretched out his hand over the sea. He has shaken the kingdoms. The Lord has given command concerning Canaan to destroy its strongholds. And he said, "You will no more exult, O oppressed virgin daughter of Sidon. Arise, cross over to Cyprus. Even there you will have no rest." The Lord has stretched his hand over the sea. The sea was the very thing which supported the ships of Tyre. They floated on its water. But the Lord is the ruler of all creation. He controls the sea with his hand, even that which brought profit and gain to Tyre. And when the Lord stretches forth his hand over the sea and brings Tyre down, the kingdoms of the world which depend on Tyre will be shaken. Thus the words, "He has shaken the kingdoms." And the Lord's command concerning Canaan about destroying its strongholds will come to fulfillment when the great fortified city of the coast is brought low. The oppressed virgin daughter of Sidon will no longer exult. Prophet Isaiah is referring to Tyre again. She's oppressed because the hand of the Lord is against her. She's called a virgin daughter not to denote her chastity, but rather to say that her riches up to this point have not been plundered, but they shall be. And when he says, "Arise, cross over to Cyprus, even there you will have no rest," he's saying that even in banishment in faraway lands, not even there will they find rest. The Lord is the one bringing this devastation on Tyre. God has purposed these things to come to pass. Verses 13 and 14 indicate that the Chaldeans, that is, the Babylonians, are his instrument. They were once a people with no name. This is a people that was not, it says. The Assyrians had something to do with their rise to power. They destined the land of the Chaldeans as a place for wild beasts. But the Chaldeans, with their siege towers, conquered the Assyrians, stripping their palaces bare and making her a ruin. These Chaldeans will bring Tyre down and cause the ships of Tarshish to wail. God will use the Babylonians as his instrument to accomplish his purpose in the fall of Tyre. Well, even though the Lord brings his judgment against Tyre and uses the Babylonians to bring it down, verses 15 to 18 speak of the restoration of Tyre. For 70 years, Tyre will be forgotten. Her dominance in commerce and trade will not be present for that time. But when 70 years are past, verse 15 says, it will happen to Tyre as in the song of the prostitute. Why does God, through Isaiah, use this particular image, the image of a prostitute singing songs? Well, it's to make a point about buying and selling and trading merchandise. Although such enterprises are useful and necessary among nations, often the way they're conducted is with fraud and dishonesty. Verse 16 contains a few lines from the song. "Take a harp, go about the city, O forgotten prostitute. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that you may be remembered." Here's an old prostitute, over 70 years old, trying to get the attention of her suitors again. Though Tyre will be forgotten as an economic and commercial power for 70 years, she will again return to her work as before. And this isn't something that comes about by some chance occurrence in history, or something which the people of Tyre do by their own power. The Lord brings it to pass. Verse 17 says, the Lord will visit Tyre and cause this to happen. At the end of 70 years, the Lord will visit Tyre, and she will return to her wages and will prostitute herself with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. She'll be back in business, but something will have changed. Verse 18, her merchandise and her wages will be holy to the Lord. It will not be stored or hoarded, but her merchandise will supply abundant food and fine clothing for those who dwell before the Lord. Not only will Tyre be restored as a great trading power in the world, Tyre will be converted. Her merchandise and her wages will be holy to the Lord. Instead of seeking to fulfill her own ends, an enterprise that might be called playing the harlot, Tyre gives her gifts to the Lord. Her merchandise isn't stored up or hoarded for herself. Instead, she gladly gives to provide abundant food and fine clothing for the servants of God who dwell before the Lord. This isn't an easy passage to understand, and it's hard to know exactly how to apply this to ourselves. But God's word points us to Christ. Does this passage point us to Christ? I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 72. Psalm 72 is a prayer for the king, that God would give him righteousness and justice. It's also a psalm which glorifies the ultimate king, the Messiah. The kings of Israel, with all their imperfections, were meant to point us to the greatest king of all, the Messiah of God. Psalm 72 describes the wealth of nations coming to this great king. Listen to these words. Start at verse 11. We're going to skip around a little bit. May all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor, and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. Now look back at verses 7 to 10. In his days, may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick dust. May the kings of Tarshish and the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. The kings of the earth bring gifts to this king. Even the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands. Congregation of Christ, the restoration of Tyre spoken of in Isaiah 23, when the trade of the coastlands will be holy to the Lord, is at least partially fulfilled when the Magi brought their gifts to Christ after his birth. And the blessings of the age to come are sometimes also pictured in Scripture under the same figures. For instance, Psalm 46, you might want to turn to there. Verses 6 through 12. Psalm 45, 6 to 12. It says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your compassion, beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Hear, O daughter, and consider, incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king shall desire your beauty, since he is your Lord. Bow to him. And then listen what follows. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the richest of people. The Lord rules over all. Even the people of Tyre will bring honor to him and serve his people. You bow with me and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, this was a hard passage this morning. It's hard for us. We're not used to the poetry. We're unfamiliar with the history. And Lord, sometimes we come saying, what's in this for me, Lord, when you're addressing nations and telling us about how you work in history and how that all points to Christ. Help us to see that and to know it, Lord, and to rejoice in it and to glorify you for it. That even a nation like Tyre, the queen of the seas, Lord, is in the palm of your hand. And Lord, you bring nations down and you raise nations up so that they serve you. Lord, and we think of the nations of the world today, our own country, which has an eminent place at this time in world history, and the other nations of the world, Lord, we are in your hands. Oh Lord, we rejoice as your people that you bring nations down and that you raise them up and that they serve your Son and his kingdom. And we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to do that in the world. May your kingdom come, Lord, in all its fullness and consummate power. And may we, Lord, as your people, be faithful in it until our Lord Jesus comes again. Lord, we pray these things in his precious name. Amen.